The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said of those ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your sister or brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your sister or brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going together to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that every man who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whichever man divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that any man who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whichever man marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of those ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great sovereign. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. When I lived and worked a summer in Glacier National Park, during my time off from folding t-shirts, because I worked at the t-shirt shop connected with the gas station in West Glacier, I always enjoyed going to the West Glacier post office. And it was wonderful for many ways, partly because, you know, I got wonderful care packages from my mom, filled with cookies, letters from college friends, or little notes from family. But maybe even a bigger reason why I enjoyed going to the West Glacier post office was because of my friend Joe, the postal worker who worked there. Joe was a member of the Crow Nation, or Absaroki, as he called it many times. He was probably in his mid-30s, very slender build, had smooth, dark, shiny hair that ended in a ponytail, and a smile that you just couldn't forget. And I met Joe after I received a care package from my mom filled with cookies, which I, of course, couldn't help myself but to open right there in the post office. And I remember Joe commented on how good the cookies smelled, and in saying to me that he could feel the love of my mother through those cookies and through that care package. And so I shared one with him and had a wonderful conversation. Well, I returned the next day and saw him there, and so I just kind of said, "Well, howdy, stranger." And Joe looked at me and he said, "No, no, howdy, brother. Come once and you're a stranger and a guest. Come twice and you are a brother." And so from that time on, for the rest of the summer, every time we greeted one another, we always, with a high five, would say, "Howdy, brother." Well, during that same summer, a good friend of mine went hiking in the mountains around Ketchum, Idaho. And he slipped and he fell to his death. And after hearing about this, I remember coming into the post office incredibly devastated. And instead of saying, "Howdy, brother," Joe said, "What's wrong, brother?" After tearfully telling him what had happened, he, with tears in his eyes, said, "Come back after my shift is over." And so upon returning at about 5 o'clock that day, I saw Joe standing in the back of the post office with some dried grass and flowers. And as I stood next to him, he lit it on fire as a ceremony to my lost friend. And he began to sing a native mourning song. It was one of the most comforting experiences that I have ever had in mourning a close death. And it was done by a postal worker, a stranger turned to a brother. In our continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus today, I think, shifts from describing what the kingdom of heaven, or as I said last week, the beloved community is another translation for it. What is the beloved community? And we shift into Jesus sketching out how does one live in the beloved community. This is a difficult text from the Gospel of Matthew because it talks about many difficult subjects such as anger, adultery, divorce, and keeping oaths. And coupled with this very weird, strange statement about ripping out one's own eye and cutting off one's own hand, these statements of Jesus can understandably be quite odd. And so this is where I like to fulfill and go through the tradition of reading another reading to help us interpret what this lengthy, kind of long reading in the Gospel of Matthew is. And one reading I think that can help us interpret some of these things is from our Old Testament reading of the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, which is on the front page of your Celebrate insert, is a collection of sermons, actually, thought to be historically from the prophet Moses. Well, our reading from this morning is believed to be Moses' last sermon to the people. As he is looking out over the promised land, there are many paintings about this. And it is some of his final statements to Israel. And they are pretty amazing. Perhaps the verses from Moses which stick out to me today from this reading are verses 19 and verses 20. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying and holding fast to him, for that means life to you. Choose life so that you may live." Now, I know this kind of sounds cliche, but I think choosing life is something that is far more difficult than we can imagine. Choosing life may require us to have a different set of priorities sometimes. Choosing life requires us to get out of ourselves. Choosing life, in many ways, is what I witnessed with Joe, the postal worker. Choosing life is what I believe Jesus is referring to in this long, challenging section of the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus highlights anger, adultery, divorce, and the breaking of oaths because they are all issues of broken relationship, not because they are some moral code that we need to stand by. They are all things that can take life away instead of giving life. Anger is mentioned here, not for the sin of being angry, That's ludicrous, because Jesus himself gets angry in Scripture. But instead, Jesus mentions anger, I think, because it's important in how we respond to that anger. Choosing life means allowing anger to flow through healthy channels and reconciliation. Adultery is mentioned not out of some moralistic code, but that can never be fulfilled, but from the idea of justice. Choosing life means refusing to see someone as a sexual object. No one should be seen or regarded as a sexual object. Choosing life means teaching young girls to see themselves not as objects, but as children of God, human beings, beautiful in their own right, created by God. Choosing life means seeing everyone as children of God. And divorce is mentioned too, not just simply by the fact that, well, maybe it's sinful, but I think what Jesus is getting at here is remembering the dignity of human beings. Remember in Jesus' time that women had no rights at all, that this was a patriarchal society. And so when a woman would not produce a male-bearing child for an heir, there was no rule against the husband just casting her off on the streets. And due to the fact of Jewish purity law of being a virgin, she would be susceptible to possibly being stoned to death because she would have no way of proving that she would be connected with somebody else. Choosing life in this passage means seeing your marriage vows as serious, and if they cannot be met, giving the woman a certificate of divorce, giving the woman life instead of casting her out onto the streets. Oaths then are mentioned because keeping an oath is sacred. Don't find loopholes. Choosing life means doing what you're going to say you're going to do. To be honest, to be trustworthy. You know, what was so important for me in my friendship with Joe, especially during the time that I lost my friend, was his ability to see my humanness, my tears, my grief, my joy. Humanness is life. Earthness is life. Creatureliness is life. That's, I think, what Jesus is trying to get at, and what can be a challenge for the church as well. How do we choose life in our daily lives? How do we treat one another and ourselves with dignity and respect? It seems easy, but I think seeing the world as it is at the moment can be much harder than we think. A couple of years back, many of you remember the struggle of removing the Milltown Dam and Reservoir. And it's a situation that quickly became an argument of two sides. First side, the dam needs to be removed and the heavy metals from Butte need to be cleaned up if the Blackfoot is to be clean and a vital river again. Or the second side, the Milltown Dam and Reservoir are marks of our history, a history to be proud of. Taking away these things removes a piece of that history. Two very worthwhile arguments. And I wasn't pastor here at that time, but from conversations with Pastor Gene and others in the community, I understand things got heated, and at times between the two sides. Yet, what I have witnessed, following the removal, following the decision of this dam to be cleaned up, is nothing less of respect and admiration that I have witnessed between folks in this community that clearly were on different sides of this issue. People in Bonner and the surrounding area were able to see one another as brother, as sister, as childhood friend, as community member first, before they saw each other on two different sides. I think this affected how they acted towards one another in disagreement and clearly affects who we are as a community today. Perhaps this can be our guide, our model, our strength as our community continues to wrestle with how to be a community to one another, how to choose life. Choose life so that you may live. May we continue to love and respect one another in our humanness and earthliness, and be Christ to one another, remembering to say not, "Howdy, stranger," but "Howdy, brother, sister, and earth." Amen.